It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
We should do the show outside. We need to get some sort of veranda built or some sort of...
A balcony?
Know, yeah, so we could just sit outside. You know, someplace quiet, a park.
Give me some birds chirping in the background, yeah. Some good show sound.
Which birds? Yeah. How many bird calls do you know?
Oh, no, I'm going to be bad at this.
None.
Okay. A seagull.
Ah!
I could definitely spot a seagull.
All right, what an answer. You know,
like the easy ones. A crow, maybe.
Okay,
that's easy.
We've established that you know those calls.
Yeah, the big birds.
You're listening to on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Well, good morning. Last day of camp here at St. John Fisher.
So sad. Last day of camp.
There might be mixed emotions for some. Let's just say we talked to some camp participants eager to get back.
Yeah, some, that's right.
Some camp sources may be ready to go home to their families. So, yeah. Welcome back. Training camp. One last day here at St. John Fisher and then back to Buffalo preseason game. We might get news today on the extent of who plays when in the preseason. We asked Sean McDermott yesterday, and he said they were still going through that process and had said he didn't want to give any information on that without telling the players first. So,
right.
You know, you got your injured players, but that's one of the things he told us yesterday was, well, you know, get to the players. So perhaps today we find out how much we are going to see Josh Allen. And if we're going to see Josh Allen, I guess I should say, and other players, who gets their opportunity against the Giants on Saturday.
Which would you expect to? Would you expect to see Josh Allen on Saturday?
I would. I would expect Josh Allen to start the game. It's a home game.
Yes,
and it is. Their second preseason home game is the third one, right?
Yeah.
So by then, you're too close to the season. So I bet Allen plays a quarter.
Oh, this is their only home one.
I'm sorry, right.
Yeah, only home and then two road.
Right, they're at Tampa, not here. Tampa is here during the regular season. They're at Tampa.
Yes, in the preseason.
Yes. So, yeah, I would expect him to play and maybe get a quarter, and then that's it for his preseason.
A quarter.
Two drives.
That's
A quarter is sometimes – it depends, right? Like, if a drive lasts 7 minutes, the quarter might be the only drive.
Right. It feels like a lot. It sounds like a lot. It feels like nothing should be what he ends up playing. But that probably is what he does about every year.
Yeah.
Is like two, three drives. There was one year where he even played a game like into halftime, right? Maybe that's the Pittsburgh game or it's the week after the Pittsburgh game when they were bad so they made them play again. I don't know. But typically I feel like he does often get more preseason time than then usually I would like to see him get.
Yep. Me too. But I think there's a little bit of a movement this year about teams that start slow wanting to be fresher. The Bengals lead that charge, right? The Bengals every year are really slow out of the gate, and because of that, Burrow is going to play in the preseason.
Yep.
So, which he normally does not play. They're going to try more. So, all right. I feel like it's been a while since we had that debate because – we had a season without a preseason. We had a season where Allen played a good amount. Last year he threw three passes? 2 years ago, maybe? 2 years ago, he threw three passes in the preseason, and he was awesome.
Yep.
So I can remember days gone by having that argument, that conversation. I feel like I can remember being on both sides of it. One where it's, I mean, going back to Trent Edwards, Joe, I feel like I remember myself sitting in this seat saying, he needs the reps. He's too good for the reps. Come on, get him out there. And, you know, the Bills are in such a land of consistency of late that, if we're being kind of real, a lot of people talk about the regular season like it's preseason. Like, oh, just.
That's the thing, right?
Like, be healthy for January. No, you know, not for necessarily September, but
right.
That's living in the penthouse, right? That's living at the top of the world in the NFL.
Even though they have not always started the best in the regular season.
Last year they didn't. Last year was kind of a slow, sleepy win over the Cardinals where they needed to win late.
And wasn't there a questionable pass interference call at the end of the game that could have even, you know, it was ticky-tack. Maybe it could have gone either way. And then the game could have gone against
them. They kicked the field goal of death. against the Cardinals.
Yep. There was the Pittsburgh game a couple of years ago. Yep. They lost. That was not a good Steeler team.
No, it was a very disappointing game. I can remember. They got a punt blocked.
Punt blocked for a touchdown. Very Tomlin way to win.
That's right.
I would say. I mean, they've had hot starts, too. I mean, the Ram game, they are a wagon coming out of the gates. But it's never been bad enough to where I've ever thought for a second, like, oh, Josh should play. Josh should get on the same page with Josh Palmer in the preseason. I mean, I think most people understand now that that chemistry gets worked on in practice anyway.
Yeah.
That's built on the practice field at training camp. I mean, if you're not even running plays in the preseason, that you probably won't play in the regular season because they're so manila, you're trying not to show anything, then what are you really even building? I guess it is just timing, right? It's timing with receivers, but you're not really practicing your playbook. You know, the stuff that they're doing out here during training camp, they're not going to be out there running against the Giants. That's why it's always kind of felt pretty useless to me.
Yep.
I mean, how many years now have we had starters never playing at all? The Rams have been doing this for years. I think the Vikings are one of these teams that never put their guys in. And, a lot of these teams do completely fine, and you never think about it at all.
Is it the McVay tree that does that?
Maybe, yeah.
McVay's big on no preseason.
Yep.
I'm going to go into Twitter and search that.
Although Zach Taylor is – well, actually, I was going to say Zach Taylor is the McVay tree.
He's been convinced that he needs to do it.
But he has been, I don't play my guys, and now it's been so bad at the beginning of seasons for him – and they missed the playoffs that, you know, feels like maybe for him he's got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he's doing it. Even though his background would tell you that, like, all the coaches that he kind of came up with are doing it all the same way, and he's now going the other direction.
I searched preseason pledge, and one of the first ones that comes up is when we had the old WGR text line, someone writing to me that Matt Barkley could take this team to the playoffs.
Ah, yes.
So, which might have been, it was 2019, maybe that's right. Who knows? That's when Allen's about to really break out, right?
Yeah.
So
I mean, I've got some preseason trivia loaded up for you at any point.
Really?
Some names like that.
Yeah. There are preseason games tonight, so we can do our fantastic four-way parlay later today with the four of us picking something from tonight.
Okay.
Indy and Baltimore, Cincinnati and Philly. I should check to see, is Anthony Richardson going to play in this game? If they've got a real honest-to-goodness quarterback competition, the preseason should matter, right? There should be something in there if he's going to play, because they play tonight, and that would be a player I actually want to watch. There are always a handful of players that in the preseason I feel like are worth watching, and for me, Anthony Richardson would be one. Maybe Drake May. I wonder what the Patriots are going to do about Drake May.
Yep.
You know, the Patriots are – I think Bills fans probably talk about the Patriots as much as any other team right now, because can they mount a charge, right? Can they be – a thorn in the Bills' side? Can they stay close? Their schedule is really easy,
yep,
comparatively. So, anyway, tonight, Indy, Baltimore, Cincy, Philly. So,
Burrow tonight. Yeah, and Richardson will start for the Colts.
Okay.
So, that's a couple of noteworthy guys that are worth watching.
And then Raiders and Seahawks.
Yeah.
That is your three-game triple header tonight. Indy, Baltimore, 7. Cincy, Philly, 7:30. Las Vegas and Seattle at 10. Burrow tonight. Joe Burrow.
All right.
I mean, hold your breath.
Richardson, though, definitely the guy I'm going to be more locked in on. For can he win that battle? Can he beat out Daniel Jones at all? He still is a very exciting idea to me. And I feel like the Colts probably went away from him more than anything because he quit in the middle of a game and went off the sideline because he was tired.
Yeah.
Right? Not to say he has been consistent at all, but did he not make the most impressive throw in the NFL last season?
It was up there.
Early in the year,
Houston,
like a rocket down the field to Alec Pierce.
I mean, he looked good against the Bills in the preseason.
He didn't play in the regular season. Against the Bills.
No, I know, but I'm saying he made an impressive couple of throws against the Bills in the preseason and the most impressive throw against Houston during the regular season. It was two preseasons in a row where a rookie quarterback played against the Bills, and we thought, there's some tools there, right? That's Richardson, Caleb Williams, or that was both the same preseason, I guess. Yeah, right? They're the same draft class?
Yes.
It's before 7 a.m., and we stayed in the dorms.
He went fourth overall.
That always surprises me.
Really high.
Yeah. For whatever reason in my head, Richardson went 12th and 4th overall, right? All right. I got to like adjust my whatever. My memory, my brain.
Yeah, he was a high. I mean, people thought he should have gone number one.
Yeah.
Some did. Like, he's got the tools. He's got the arm. He's got the athleticism. He had not really played much at all in college, right? Like, he had very few starts, very limited sample. Maybe if he really fails, maybe that will kill any future, like, okay, this guy hasn't really played a ton in college, like 1 year starter,
yeah,
but he's got crazy freak athleticism, because that was kind of Trey Lance a little bit too. He got drafted because of tools, nothing to do with what he did in college,
right?
And that was Richardson to some extent as well. I mean, he still is so weird to follow to evaluate, because he has like the worst completion percentage you'll ever see. He was 47% last year, but he averaged as many yards per pass as Mahomes did last season, because he led the league in yards per completion, and he's the only one doing it like that, right? Everybody else is taking what's given to you and, you know, throwing the ball short, and this guy is like, I'm either not doing that or I can't do that, and I'm just going to chuck the ball deep. And he's as good at it as anybody in the league. And he's going to take off and run and jump over people and run through people. He gets hurt like Josh doesn't.
I was going to say, like, are there personnel people in the league that are chasing Josh Allen, and they see a guy that might be a little bit like him, and they think, like, let's try that.
Absolutely.
Let's go that way.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he kind of feels like rookie Josh Allen still. What's different? He's inconsistent as a passer. He is not accurate. He has a crazy arm. He is an amazing runner. He's big. Like, what's really the biggest difference?
No.
The biggest difference, there's two biggest differences. One is the injury part of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Josh does not get injured. Knock on wood. Knock on wood.
We're always knocking.
Richardson gets hurt all the time. And
pulling himself out of a game.
Pulls himself out of a game, that too. And also, yeah, like that's the other part. That's the second thing. Pulling himself out of a game doesn't really feel like something Josh would have ever even considered.
Right.
Right?
I mean,
like, there's a maturity level there that
sure.
Richardson just didn't even maybe understand that was a no-no.
Right.
And I don't think Josh would have ever had that problem.
Not many quarterbacks have that ever even come across their mind. It's just not the thing that happens.
No.
Yeah, I mean, all right.
Like, is it impossible that he would turn into, like, a really good – would it be more crazy for him to turn into a star quarterback than it was for Allen to?
Right now?
That's a bad exercise, because Allen did something that almost no one's done.
Yeah.
But would it be equally as crazy?
Well, put it this way. On Allen, once he got in the league, I don't think – and let's revisit this if you want to – you know, having a draft take, we all had draft takes. Plenty of us thought, like, I mean, I told you on the radio all the time, like, I don't think this guy's going to be good. I don't know if he's going to be good, but I'd be afraid.
Yeah.
Once he got in the league, I don't ever think, well, I don't know why I want a percentage here. There was never a moment I would have bet against him once he got in the league. I mean, the Vikings game was early. It was his second start, and the Vikings game was
– right.
All right, this is worth watching. And Richardson, I guess, probably had a moment like that. But Richardson, I mean, I'll just use, like, sorry, but fantasy football as a comparison. I had Richardson in a lot of leagues, and I dumped everything. Like, I would bet against Richardson.
Yeah.
And I never got to a point, and that's after a full season, I would bet against Richardson succeeding, and I would never, I don't think at any point we were going to bet against Allen. There were rocky moments in that rookie year,
yeah.
But there was definitely enough there to say, I want to see more of it. And, I mean, of course,
yeah,
like,
right.
the bet paid off pretty quick, because Allen, his ascension was...
Right, year three, it is, all right, it's go time.
Right.
Like,
but even year two is, I don't want to bet against this guy. We've got something good here. By year two, he's the best Bills quarterback of the... Whatever. I don't want to say how the drought had ended by that point. But Richardson, you know, we'll see. And Richardson also has an offensive coach who had success with other quarterbacks, right? Shane Steichen comes
right.
from the Eagles, where things worked out really well. And if you, for Allen, you know, we might have wondered, oh, defensive coach, who's his coordinator?
Yeah.
And it all kind of came together. Whatever. I never wanted to bet against Allen once he was in the lineup. There were some bad games, but Richardson's tough. And the Colts, you know, who knows what's going to happen there? That's a team that could pick in the top three and doesn't know it.
That's the thing. Like, what are you doing if you're putting Daniel Jones in there? Like, I know how I'd be feeling if I was there. Like, this team has been going through mid-quarterback after old quarterback after old quarterback since Andrew Luck retired, which is now 6 years ago. And what am I? I'm going to put Daniel Jones in to do what with Daniel Jones?
Well, if you are.
Like, that just feels like the biggest waste of time ever. Not to, even if you're not confident that Richardson is going to flip it around, let me take it out for a spin one more time before I fully give up on it. Because maybe I strike lightning in a bottle. Maybe he realized something in the offseason. Maybe he gets better at the easy stuff and maintains doing all the tough stuff down the field. Like, those are big maybes, big what ifs. But let me take that out for a spin before I'm putting Daniel Jones in there so I can win six games.
I think the answer might be, if you are the Colts, what are you doing? You're Shane Steichen. You're trying to keep your job. He has two seasons at 17-17. He's not at 9-8 and 8-9.
Yeah.
And with what at quarterback, right?
That's the thing, though. Richardson's got a winning record. Like, as bad as he's been, winning record. It's 8-7. It's not much.
Right.
But you're not getting smoked in these games that he's playing. You're finding ways. Again, part of that is he is going to give you a 50-yard play almost every start. And it's not maybe a way to live in today's NFL. But, you know, he doesn't have – not everything's a deficiency. So you're probably right, though. Like, because isn't Steichen out if they have a bad year? Year three, if they go yep. – I don't know what the new ownership looks like there after Jim Irsay passed away this offseason. So I guess maybe that's a question too. But, like, if they won five or six games, I bet he would probably be fired.
Richardson entering his third year, and he'll play tonight. He'll start tonight's game. Of course, he was not part of the Williams-Daniels-May class, of course. He was the class before.
Okay, right.
Yeah. So anyway, Richardson, tonight, we'll get a look at it.
Bryce Young, that's the class.
That's right, yes, Bryce Young.
Because that was the guy I thought he should have gone over. I would have taken Richardson over Bryce Young.
Okay, I mixed another one in there.
Stroud,
thank you.
And went Bryce Young at one, Stroud at two, and then Richardson at four.
It's been a run on quarterbacks early, right? I mean,
yeah,
of course. Like since, well, it's trended this way a lot, but now quarterbacks just go at the top 1, 2, 3, 4, and everybody moves up for their quarterbacks. There was that stretch where no quarterback had been taken with the team's original pick for a couple of years because everybody was trading up and trading in.
Right.
Anyway, preseason football tonight. Catch the fever, right? Get excited.
Yeah.
Last day of Bills camp today. We'll talk with Bills COO Pete Quelly coming up at 7:30 this morning. Have some questions about the stadium and plenty other stuff to get to, like the draft. The draft the Bills have been putting in for the draft, and we saw a report that timeline got moved. So we'll ask him about the pursuit of hosting the draft. And Pete Quelly at 7:30. Sal coming up at 8 as we get ready for the final day of practice. The final day, I can remember, dizzy bat races, taping rookies to goalposts and dumping a cooler on them.
Dizzy bat races?
Yeah.
What is that?
You've never seen a dizzy bat
race?
Is
that like when you spin around on the baseball bat?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you run and fall. Yeah.
All right. Yes, I know what that is.
Yeah. Sometimes it had been goofy in the past, the final day of practice, but, you know, we'll wrap up today, and then off we go to the season.
And then I guess Allen is supposed to speak a little bit later, too. McDermott will do some press media as well. But we'll hear from Josh today.
First
time since, I think, the first week of camp.
All right.
So, do a little of that, too. They're going to come back here every year, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. For a long time. They like it. They like it. I think it works for everybody. I think it works for... And
even with the new... Because I know that was a question at one point, like, hey, when they get a new stadium, is that going to change things? And it sounds like it has been reported that is not going to happen.
Yeah.
No, it's not going to change things.
And I think Hard Knocks is going to be a commercial for why it's good to do it here. All the things that the Bills are going to be – well, the HBO is going to be chronicling why it's good that they're here. It feels like they're not about to just say, like, yeah, that was great. All right, not anymore. So I would expect them to be back.
Yeah,
the preseason starts today, a triple header in the NFL. I mean, the Hall of Fame game started it, I guess. But other teams, everybody else is playing this week. And it does feel like the hey, what do you want to see out of the preseason is a bit of a bygone era. Really what you're getting at is kind of treating these like extended scrimmage practices. The Bills will have a joint practice with the Bears next week. And what is this on Saturday against the Giants? Well, show me Landon Jackson making a play, right? Show me T.J. Sanders blowing up the interior of the Giants' offensive line. Show me I don't get to see Maxwell Hairston.
I'll say who's third on the list.
I'll give you a name.
Walker?
I'll give you a name.
Just go down the draft list?
At the top of the list. Because last year, I thought the Bills in the Pittsburgh game were making a point to get Coleman catches. They wanted to throw him the ball to kind of let's get him confidence, let's work here. That, to me, is a spot that the preseason can work for you. Especially, you know, you got a rookie player. Let's get him out there. He's in the NFL. He's wearing the uniform. He's playing against the Steelers or the Giants or whatever. And I thought last year the Bills were kind of trying, once Coleman was in there, to get the ball to him. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if they do that again. If Saturday, whether it's Allen or if it's Mike White or Mitch Trubisky, that they have Keon Coleman playing for the entire first half. Like, let's get out there. You've had a good camp. Let's put it on film, you know, put it on the field against the Giants and get people excited about you. Get you excited about you and what you can do. Because I think there's no doubt that when talking about Coleman, Sal said this, like, the confidence is different. He's carrying himself a little differently. And the preseason might give you a chance to kind of just dip into that a little bit more. So my prediction would be Coleman gets a little bit of run.
That'd be interesting because he's going to
play a lot.
They have him. The plan, I think, for him is to play more snaps than any other receiver on offense this year, right? Like, would there even be a debate? He's going to lead. He's going to play more than any receiver plays this season.
Yeah.
So playing him into the second quarter, beyond other guys, you know, you might feel like he needs it though. So I guess I would be a little surprised if he did that, just because I think they're counting on him to do a lot this season, from the whole thing, not just targets and receptions, but like he is gonna be playing. Yeah. He played 73% of the snaps last year on offense. What's that number this year? Is it 85?
73% of when he was available.
When he was available, yeah. Like, is it gonna be 85 this year?
That's a good question.
It's probably gonna be higher.
I mean, that's a big number. Especially for a team that does have a couple outside options that are a little bit different, and I guess it depends who makes the team. 803-0550.
For comparison, Gabe Davis, when he was with the Bills, he actually also played 73% in his rookie year, but that was they had injuries that year. He played his final 2 years with the Bills, 91% and 83%.
That's
Gabe
a lot.
Davis. So maybe that's a little closer to what Coleman ends up with.
803-0550. If you want to give us a call on what you want to see in the preseason, we're happy to take that. You know, who you might be keying in on. Maybe Hard Knocks is one of the ways you watch these players and learn about these players. But to watch and kind of scout how they look on the field, your first chance to kind of see them in live action comes on Saturday against the Giants. So if you want to chime in on that, you're more than welcome to. Peak Welly at 7:30, Sal at 8. And also Sean McDermott, Josh Allen speaking today, so we'll carry as much as we can from the final day here at St. John Fisher. Coverage of Bills training camp from St. John Fisher, brought to you by Fiegel Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors & Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys, and driven by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your Upstate Honda dealer today.
It's pretty easy right now just because, like I said, just no different as the wide receivers with some of the injuries. You know, it's our job as coaches to coach who's out there. And as long as there's 11 guys, you know, we're going to run the scheme and we're going to roll with it. And you guys know how I feel about James and the love I have for him. And all that's out of my control and my hands. My job is to, whether we got to go 22 personnel, whether we got to go 11, you know, with injuries, people in and out, just kind of roll with it. And it's been a great opportunity for a lot of guys.
Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady. So, one of the more interesting comments we got yesterday, I thought, we sat with Jerry Ostrowski and John Fina, former Bills linemen, over 200 starts together, and I asked the question to them about, oh, you know, your star back is not back there, and the running back, you know, he helps make the line look good. If you've got a good offensive line,
yeah. a good running back, makes the line look good. The line, you know, it's a symbiotic relationship there. And Venus said when I asked him, like, are you thinking, you know, man, are you paying attention to this? I forget exactly how I asked the question about, like, are you worried about your star guy not being there?
Yeah.
And his answer was, we don't care. Very stark, we don't care.
Yeah.
I'm going to do my job. He mentioned Jonathan Linton back in his time. Like, all that means for us yeah. is the next – really, for them, it's next man up. For them, it is like, yeah, whatever. We'll be fine.
Yeah.
Just throw somebody back there. I'm going to do my job. I'm not going to worry about it. And, you know, you won't necessarily get a Bills player saying, we don't care. But in that moment, you kind of get to – listen, he's got business, and that's business. But my job is to do my job out here, so
yep.
not going to worry about it.
The same way they'd approach it if James Cook was missing a game due to injury.
Yeah.
Like he did against the Jets
yep.
last year, which, by the way, they did fine with, right? They're
yes.
Running the ball great.
I mean, Josh Allen missed a game, and Matt Barkley played great. And I don't, you know.
Yeah, that's fair.
I haven't made that any sort of proof of anything. Yep. You know, a running back can go in and have a good game. Anyway, whatever. We'll see where Cook gets to. I don't know if I'm surprised. I can't decide if I'm surprised yet. The day one yeah. of the holdout, day two of the holdout, or hold. It was Diana Rossini and everybody. Oh, that's close. It's not that far. Rossini yesterday or the day before. Oh, this is to get it across the finish line. Then there's an off day. He's still out again today. Then camp's going to end, and once camp ends.
That's when the
spotlight kind of goes away a little bit for him.
Maybe a little bit. I don't know what like how does it end if they don't pay him though? Because I don't believe that it'll go into the season. What if it does though? I think they'll tell you right now it's not really that big a distraction. Guy's trying to get paid. It's training camp. Yep. He is here. You know, is he doing meetings? Is he just not practicing? Is he in the meeting room? Is he with the running back coach?
It's a great question to find out how much he is missing while also being here. Because if he's missing everything, he's got to be bored.
Right, because
bored.
I can understand.
Would you be so bored?
You hear? I mean, there's Settlers of Catan, I guess. but like these players that are holding in, part of why they're doing that is I'm not putting my body on the line and risking injury.
Yep.
Until you give me the long-term extension that I'm looking for. What risk would you have, though, of missing the meetings? The team meetings, the positional meetings, going over play. Like, what is he doing all of that stuff? Because I feel like he probably is. Why wouldn't you be? Right? Like, you're not putting your body on the line.
Yeah,
the only thing you would be doing then is you are really trying to stick it to the team then. Like, you are really showing them, like, this is how mad I am. I'm not just not practicing out there on the field. Yeah, I'm gonna skip today's meeting at noon. I'm going to do that, too.
One thing, a scenario we have not talked about, and we've talked about a lot of them. What if the Bills suffer an injury at running back while Cook is holding out? Everyone's ready to – not everyone is ready.
Yeah.
But some people are ready to crown Ray Davis. Like, let's do it, Ray Davis. Oh, Ray Davis picked up, you know – an injury. He's going to miss a couple weeks. Uh-oh. Okay, now it's – I mean
– would they sign a guy?
That's what I mean.
You know who they might sign? Although he's injured. I was saying, would they bring Zach Moss back?
No.
Because he's got a neck injury?
I don't think they would. Would it just be Frank Gore Jr. time? Would it just be, hey, it's Darrington Evans time? Because, you know, the receiver group went through a lot of injuries. We saw Samuel – actually, we haven't seen Samuel.
Yeah.
Samuel with an injury the whole time. Shaver's got – a knock.
Yep.
That's my soccer terminology. He got a knock. Samuel's hurt. Shakir, Shavers, yep. Palmer with a groin. The receivers went down four or five guys.
Yeah.
And the running backs didn't. Is there any way that there's pressure on the Bills if Davis and Johnson, Johnson left practice one day with an injury, came back.
Yep. Came back.
If one of those or two of those guys does go down, do the Bills call the agent and say, like, hey, we got to move here?
I can't imagine that a couple of – like, how bad are they injured? That's another part of it.
That's a part of it.
Is them missing a couple of weeks going to change what their number would be for his cap hit in 2027?
Do you want – like, you're playing Baltimore for the first game of the season.
Yeah.
And the
One seed odds shift how much? 11% on the first game of the year?
Uh-huh.
And you don't have healthy running backs, and you got James Cook holding out. What should you do? Should you pay? I don't know if it's an extra million. I realize this is a kind of far down the road hypothetical.
Sure. Yeah.
But there is a world in which Cook is waiting, and all of a sudden the position gets a little bit dire, which
that happened
at receiver, where it got pretty rough for a while. And we're asking, oh, here's Christian Wilkerson getting his opportunity, when that's a name we kind of maybe didn't expect to talk about.
It could put the pressure on them. Could it put the pressure on him more?
It could.
Like right now, I don't think there's any, like, especially from his teammates, of like resentment. Like the guy's trying to get his money.
Yeah.
Like the players understand that. But if guys start dropping like flies, and you got that big game coming up in week one, do guys start going, buddy, we need you?
Right, right.
Like, we need you to get in here because we're in trouble. We got Frank Gore Jr. as our only running back going into that game. Like, we got Gilliam playing.
Yeah, I think it's a good point both ways. That, you know, we're all just here loosely talking like, oh, they'll be fine. They've got this. They've got that. Once you get down to, hey, it's Baltimore. Who are you handing the ball to? Oh, okay. If Ray Davis is healthy, then, you know, that's fine. But
yeah,
we really haven't talked about things that could actually – tangibly could get it moving.
I wonder if in a situation like that, do we remember what the consequences are, or if they even can do the thing the Giants did with Barkley last year or 2 years ago, where he was holding out or holding in and he had 1 year left on his deal. They did not agree on a long-term extension. What they did was they agreed to pay him more on that final year. But can Cook not do that because he's on a rookie contract?
Right.
The Bills can't say, hey, we're not going to give the long-term extension. We can't agree on that. Let's rip up the final year of this deal, and we're going to give you, instead of, what is he making, $5 million this year? Something like that? We're going to give you $8 million. We'll give you an extra $3 million bucks, yep, just to make everything cool right now and not do a long-term deal because we clearly can't agree on that. I don't know the rules on that, though, because it's a rookie contract.
803-0550. 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe, live from St. John Fisher in Rochester.
If you're wondering, there is not a good list of free agent running backs, by the way.
I wouldn't imagine there are.
Did they try to sign Chase Edmonds a couple years ago? He's available. Ezekiel Elliott? Big name.
Wow. All right, yeah.
Jamal Williams, Jeff Wilson. Yeah, this is not a good list. Cordarrelle Patterson. There you go.
He can return kicks, right?
Yeah, he's the best kick returner in history, right?
Yeah.
Although they got Chenault for that, I guess.
If you want to give us a ring on this, you can. 803-0550. Pete Guelli at 7:30 to join us. And NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell on Red Zone, what that means.
Uh-huh.
He talked about...
And doing that with other sports.
Right. ESPN is taking over Red Zone. What could that mean? We've got a story here from the commissioner suggesting something. We'll tell you what that is and take your calls. 803-0550 live from the final practice at St. John Fisher here on WGR.
Swing and a deep drive. Right center field. Headed back to the fence. That ball is out of here. Guerrero reaches for 99 elevated. And hits out his 18th homer of this season.
Josh says he has stat of the day.
That I do.
Was Vlad Guerrero Jr. last night?
The yeah. Blue Jays demolished the Colorado Rockies yesterday, 20-1. They also have broken a 125-year drought, hitting 63 hits in a three-game sweep. It's the most ever since 1900.
The most hits for a team in a three-game series sweep over another 100. How many hits?
63
was
the number.
Three games.
63.
I mean,
there's other stats that go along with this. There's tons of records broken in this, but that was the biggest one. Was 63 hits in a single series, the most since 1900.
What is the record?
Are raking, huh?
What is the record for the most runs in a series? They had 45. In a three-game series.
So yeah. They set a new franchise record for that in terms of Blue Jays records, but doesn't have the MLB record listed here. Also, okay. In this whole series, The Colorado Rockies are now negative 316 on their run differential.
Wow.
They're 100. They've done that in 114 games. That's the fewest since the 1911 Boston Rustlers. They did that in 118 games. The team with the most runs against in the least amount of games was the 1899 Cleveland Spiders. They did it in 73 games.
And who bet the under on the Rockies this year?
Congratulations.
This guy. No drama, though. It's honestly not even fun. It was such a good bet. It was over the first month of the year.
Yeah.
Like, there's no point of even tracking. I'm like, I won that one. I guess I'll wait 6 months until I get paid out.
NFL Red Zone is going to ESPN. And there's a lot of chatter that the ESPN basically purchased the Red Zone name.
Yes, they're licensing it.
Yes.
Yes, someone sent – yesterday I was like, I wonder who's going to host it. And someone said, it's still going to be Scott Hansen. Because it's the same production, they're just licensing it to air it on ESPN.
But now the thought is that they will do multiple red zones. Like, they'll do one that is the SEC.
Yeah.
The SEC red zone. Which, I read an article that they actually had that before. Might have been called Goal Line or something. They had a show that was just whipping around college football, giving you all the touchdowns, and they just kind of shelved it. And then red zone exploded because of how popular, you know, football is in the NFL. So you might see Red Zone in other spots. Doesn't the NHL have a show kind of like this?
They tried. ESPN tried last year. They called it NHL Power Play or something.
Yeah.
And it was that night when they had all the teams playing. They did something like that.
Yeah.
But now they might do the same thing, just call it NHL Red Zone, I guess. But football it would work best for.
Yes.
And this is not ESPN. The best non-NFL red zone show that I've ever seen is definitely Gold Zone with the Olympics.
Okay.
Olympics is great. Soccer, usually, right, there's Golazo with the Champions League is good, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I think college football, I guess it did exist, you're saying, and I don't remember it. But if I could include that in one sport that doesn't have it right now, I think college football would definitely be my pick. The NHL is not enough games every night. And what do you do?
Well,
and how do you decide when to go to a game? Do you go, like, when they're on the power play? Is that what you would do?
That's what makes football so good, is that the red zone, like, you
know where they are.
You get in the area where they're likely to score.
Right.
And if there's a big play, well, then you just go back and cut to that.
Right. In hockey, you never know when it's about to – like, you could have a scoring play in 8 and 3 seconds.
Right.
So
Mike Vrabel got bloodied at Patriots camp. They had a joint practice with the Commanders. A scuffle broke out, and Vrabel dove in to break up the fight and got bloodied.
Uh-huh. I like not having the video of it, just the pictures after the fact.
He's just bleeding.
It lets your mind run with, like, what it looked like when Vrabel is he, like, swan diving under the top of the pile to try to get people off of it?
I like Vrabel.
To imagine.
I like Vrabel.
Yeah, you're a Vrabel guy.
I think his team's overachieved. And if his quarterback is good, then they'll be good. And his quarterback might be good. We'll find out if he can take a step. I like Vrabel. I think he's a good coach. I certainly think about New England, it's a two-pronged little conversation about whether or not they'll be good. I mean, there's probably more to it than that. But I think you adjust for Vrabel's team's generally overachieving, and how bad their coach was the year before. You're coming off of a bad coach.
Terrible coach.
If you went to the middle of ground, you'd improve. And I think Vrabel is an above-average coach, and the way he runs the organization, like, whatever. He's an overseer and a good defensive mind, and they've got Josh McDaniels back, who is, right?
Yeah.
At running offenses. Like, I think the Patriots are going to have a good season, in part because of better talent, better quarterback. You know, challenging the Bills might be lofty, but I do think they'll have a big, big upgrade in the coaching department. And with that, count me as one that thinks they're going to have a year.
Do you think Vrabel is the coach that everybody thinks Tomlin is?
I like that. I might like that a lot.
Right.
I mean, Tomlin has had a lot of success and has a Super Bowl, but so much of it now is, you know, well, I mean, Tomlin
had inherited Roethlisberger, who was already in the middle of his prime. Vrabel did it didn't win, but he had Tannehill, right? That's a pretty big gap.
The difference, I guess, would be if Vrabel could do that with Tannehill and Drake May is awesome, what is overachieving with a if Drake May is great, what does overachieving with that look like?
The Super Bowl.
Right.
If he's, I mean, if he's not, maybe not this year, but if he's great.
No, but if he becomes a
great. Then overachieving is, you know, winning it.
If he ends up, you know, somewhere between where Justin Herbert is right now and where, like, Josh Allen is.
Then overachieving is Super Bowl appearances.
Yeah.
803-0550. We'll see if they get there. But May's got to do his part. 1-888-550-2550. Couple starters back for the Bills. And a big name returning to team drills for the first time, the second practice before we're done here. I'll tell you about that because Spencer Brown's story is something about, well, I remember Steve Tasker at the start of camp said something. It turns out Steve Tasker kind of had it nailed on what happened with Spencer Brown and what can happen with guys coming to camp. Brown had a quote on it. We'll give you that when we return. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 on WGR.